In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. I want to pray for all the people that we've been writing notes to who have sent us donations, and I just want to pray for them and for you. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of his blood, that you give them the desires of their heart, that you would do more than they could ever think or imagine, even as it says in your word, according to your great riches in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, for those who need health, that you would give them health in mind. For those who need health in body, that they would experience that in body, in their legs and their whole being. I pray for the deliverance of cancer through the very power of the blood of Jesus now. I pray, God, for all the people who cry out, Lord, and for people looking for jobs, for people that have houses that are going on the market and they can't sell them. And, oh, Lord God, I ask you to protect your people, the people that have been ransomed with your blood. Father, all these people, Lord, that have been so good to us over the last 25 years, those that are with you now and those that are on earth, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. I pray especially for Ann Soka, my friend Ann, my Lord. She just died in an accident, and my heart is broken. I was just reading the card that I was going to send her, and oh, my Lord. I pray for her family, especially for her son, Johnny. Father, 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 Father. And there's a young boy I heard of today named Jonathan, and they've given him up. Father, you have not given Jonathan up. I pray that you would restore him to health. He was hit by an automobile. And I pray, God, that you would bring him back. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would come upon him, that he would be completely delivered from this sickness, and that you would completely bring him to health again. Father, how much we need you today, like we are desperate for you. So I pray, Lord, that you would do what only you can do. Manifest your glory in Jonathan, in all the people who have written to me, and all the cards that are going out. I pray that these cards would be sacramentals, that when people receive them, that they would experience the presence of God. I pray, God, that you, who are good and wonderful, would just give us greater favor with Jesus. Amen. Yesterday I was speaking about 2 Timothy 4. I will not continue with that, but I want to read it. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to be the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, to preach the word, to be urgent in season and out of season, to convince, rebuke, and exhort, to be unfailing in patience and in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings. We're living in those times. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. As for you, he's talking to Timothy, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is very interesting. He says, endure suffering. Endure suffering. We do not hear people talk about the endurance of suffering. People don't want to talk about that experience of suffering. Yet everyone suffers. Yet everyone suffers. And we're going to live in the big D, the big denial, that no one suffers. And I'm going to tell you, there is a suffering that goes with the proclamation of the gospel. There is a suffering that goes with following the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a suffering that we can unite with the cross of Jesus Christ. There is a suffering. And people will not deal with the word suffering, because you know what? It's all about health and wealth. And I believe in health. And I also believe that God gives us our daily bread. But you know what? Endure suffering. Endure suffering. do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Maybe the ministry of Timothy in suffering for the gospel is greater than the ministry that he does. Maybe that ministry of suffering, because he proclaims the gospel, and you must remember who this Timothy is. He's faint-hearted. He's faint-hearted. He gets discouraged easily. If you read the letters of Paul to Timothy, you see that he's a young man who's discouraged. You know, maybe that's his suffering, that it's very easy to get down. It's very easy to just want to say, oh, this is too much. But Paul reminds him so many times that he learned the scriptures at his mother's knee and at his grandmother's knee, and that the spirit that was given him was a spirit of self-control and power, and not of getting down. But Paul said, you know, to rekindle within him the fire that was put on him when he laid his hands on him. You see, maybe Timothy's suffering is one of discouragement. Maybe that's his suffering. I don't know exactly, but you know what? Timothy was not like Paul. Paul could endure everything and anything and suffer 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 for the sake of Jesus, and always for the sake of Jesus. Timothy isn't of that strain. He's got a different psychology, a different experience, a different emotional makeup. And maybe his emotional makeup is one of melancholy. I don't know. I understand that. But you want to know what? That suffering can be used when it is united to the cross of Jesus Christ. Nothing need ever stop anybody from doing what God wants. I tell you, I have been tried to, the demons have tried to stop me at every corner of the road. I've done things and when I was so sick emotionally. I've done things when I was so sick emotionally, and I knew that they weren't going to stop me, that I was going to proceed in faith, and I was going to be there by grace, even though I was in deep pain, even though I was in deep emotional pain. I was going to continue in the name of Jesus, and these demons were not going to stop me from doing the will of God. They were not going to stop me, you know. They were not going to stop me. I did not like what I was going through. I'm not like St. Paul, say, you know, I count all things great, you know, all things as a blessing. I don't count them as a blessing at this point. But they're not going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me by the grace of the living God. You know why? Because what I do is too important to people. What I do is too important to people. When I get letters saying that you are the highlight of my day, I say, my Lord, who am I that God would have me read, Father Tom, you are the highlight of my day. You are the highlight of my week. My Lord, who am I? But it's not who I am. It's what I say. It's who I believe in. It's Jesus. It's the Lord whom I represent. The encouragement that I give people. It's not me. It's certainly not. But it comes through me. It comes through me. Of course it comes through me. I'm not a pipe. I'm not a pipe. I believe in the incarnation. You know, that's one of the things of our Blessed Mother. Many people make Mary an incubator. She's an incubator. She holds Jesus in her womb for 9 months. I'm sorry. She's a mother. There's no woman that's an incubator. Now, maybe today we have incubators, but not those days. No incubators. Mary was a mother. The mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, who fondled and loved her son, even unto death and beyond the grave, until he rose from the dead and still. So anyway, listen, let me just say this. I don't know what your suffering is, but I know suffering is real, and I know that everybody has it, and I know everybody gets it. But I'm saying to you, you can unite it to the cross of Jesus Christ until it is gone. That does not mean you don't pray for healing. Yes, you pray for healing. You continue to pray for healing. But until you are healed, you unite your suffering to the cross of Jesus Christ. Then we see in the sixth verse, for I, St. Paul, am already on the point of being sacrificed. Here's another word that people do not use, the word sacrifice. I am already on the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come. He's ready to die. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The whole experience of sacrifice is nothing that's mentioned anymore. We do not talk about sacrifice anymore. Yet the center of Christian life is the cross of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Calvary. the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From the foundation of the earth, crucified. Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the earth. I'm telling you, the center of our faith is the sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the center of our faith. Saint Paul knew that he was on the point of being sacrificed. His time of leaving this earth was near at hand, but he lived a sacrificial life. He lived a sacrificial life. He did all for Jesus. I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul lived a sacrificial life. He would go first to the Jews, for the scripture says that salvation and the proclamation of the gospel is first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. He would go into the synagogues and proclaim Jesus. And as he would proclaim Jesus, they would throw him out, and sometimes they would stone him. They would stone him. Once they stoned him, and he was left to be dead. But the disciples formed a circle around him, and they weren't singing Ring Around the Rosy. But the power of God came upon the man of God, and he got up as if nothing happened to him. Let me tell you, it is very, very difficult to be rejected. It is very, very difficult to be rejected. He was rejected by his own. Remember what Paul said about the Jews. I would prefer to go to hell if my brothers in the faith, my Jewish brothers and sisters, would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what he said. This was a suffering. This was another suffering, that his ministry was not to the Jew, but to the Gentile. That was a great suffering. But you know what he said? I'm going to raise up disciples so great, they're going to be so filled with the Holy Ghost that the Jews are going to get jealous and they'll want to come to Jesus. Oh, the Paul. Paul endured suffering, but always for the sake of Jesus. And no one talks about suffering, and no one talks about sacrifice anymore. It's all nice, nice. It's a nice, nice, nice. It's nice for you and nice for me. Oh, yes, God's going to give us the wealth of the Egyptian. Ta-da, 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 ta-dee, ta-dee, ta-dee. Oh, yeah. You know, he might. But you want to know what? I'm not banking on that. I'm not banking on the wealth of the Egyptians. I'm banking that God's going to take care of me. I'm banking that God is faithful. I'm banking that all my sacrifices offered to him, it's like jewels in his hand. And all the sacrifices, you know, to go the extra mile, like jewels in his hands. Oh, it does not gain me salvation. My salvation is wrought in the blood. But I'm telling you, sacrifice is not a word that we hear anymore. Because you know what? We are the children that have been raised on bonbons. We want everything, and we want it now. If not before. That's real. So Paul tells us, you know, I am already on the point of being sacrificed. But his whole life was a sacrifice. Remember what he says in Romans 12. Offer yourself a living sacrifice of praise, which is your spiritual worship, your reasonable worship. Yeah, a living sacrifice of praise. You know, we need to know about sacrifice in the Old Testament. They killed the victim. They put it on the altar. And that was consumed. And the fragrance of the sacrifice went up to God. That was a dead sacrifice. Jesus on the cross is not a dead sacrifice. He's a living sacrifice. And when he had completed the work of redemption, he said, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit and died. My friend, Jesus is not a dead sacrifice. He's a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. And therefore we are to offer our lives on the altar of God as living sacrifices of praise, to be consumed by the fire of God, to be consumed by the Holy Spirit, to be consumed. I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who loves me and gave himself for me. That's why Christianity has become so insipid, without salt, you know, because it's all nice, nice. Receive the sacraments and you'll be saved. come up to the altar and give your life to Jesus and everything will be okay. I don't think so. I always thought that it was life in the Holy Spirit, not a moment in the Spirit. I always thought that it was walking in the Spirit, not just an event that took place at a certain time in a certain place. I always thought that we were to walk in faith and to live sacrificial lives because that's the way Jesus lived. That's what I always thought. I always thought that we were to pour out ourselves upon the altar of sacrifice, you know, to be poured out like a libation, a drink offering, as St. Paul was, like they used to pour drink offerings in the temple, that our lives should be drink offerings to the Lord. That's what I always thought. It's not just nice, and I'm the king's kid and all that foolishness. I am the king's kid. But you want to know what? The king's only son lived a sacrificial life, died a sacrificial death, saved the world through his sacrifice. And what does he say? If this is what the teacher does, so this is what the disciples should do. But you know what? We don't hear the word sacrifice. We don't hear the word fasting. We don't hear the word penance anymore. We don't hear those words. You know why? Because we want to be nice to you. We want to make it easy. I'm going to tell you, anyone that tells you that the Christian life is easy is out of their mind. It is not easy. But it is wonderful. And there's no other ball game in town. It's the only game in town. But when people say it's easy, it's a lie. Don't listen to them. Because it's not easy to die every day. The old man wants to stay alive, wants everything for himself. I am already on the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. This is endurance. This is endurance. You see, the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. It's a triathlon. And it goes on. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Who have loved his appearing, yes. That's when he comes in glory. That's when he came the first time. Loved his appearing. There's a crown waiting for people, but not without a cross. There's no cross without a crown. And there's no crown without a cross. And everybody wants the crown, but people don't want the cross. And you know what? I understand that. I truly understand it. I just don't want to plug into it. Of course. I want the crown without the cross. That's what I want, but you know what? Jesus said, if you would be perfect to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. For every man and woman, there's a cross. I'm not telling you the cross is cancer. I don't believe that. God doesn't put cancer on us. I'm telling you, the cross is living in a world and in a church that might not understand you. The cross is being faithful to God and to the church despite what you feel. The cross is going the extra mile when you want to go to bed. The cross is praying for the next person after you've prayed 4.5 hours. And someone comes up to you and says, could you pray for me? And I'm thinking, honey, all night I've been praying. I just want to go look at my bed right now. The cross is stretching out your hand then and praying despite what you feel. Oh, the cross comes in different sizes and different shapes and for different people. For different people, that's for sure. But Paul knew the whole thing of sacrifice. What does it say in Philippians 2? Though, have this mind in you, the mind that was in Christ Jesus. So this should be our mindset. Have this mind in you, the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count himself equal to God a thing to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being humbler still, becoming obedient, even unto death, death on a cross. Because of this, God highly exalted him and gave him, Jesus, the name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Have this mind in you, the mind that was in Christ Jesus, who lived a sacrificial life, who emptied himself, becoming a slave, who was nailed to a cross, who took upon himself the sins of the world. Have this mind, this sacrificial mind in you. Live a sacrificial life. Do not live a life that's just for yourself. A life that is sacrificial is a life that is joined with Jesus Christ. Join your life to Jesus Christ. Join your life to Jesus Christ. That's another thing about marriage. There used to be in the marriage ritual about sacrifice, and perfect love makes sacrifice a joy. No more do we hear those words. No more do we hear those words that perfect love makes sacrifice a joy. No, it's all about me, and it's all about you, and it's all about me, and it's all about you. No, I'm going to tell you, it's not about you, honey, and it's not about me, dearie. It's about him. Sacrifice, it's not even a word we talk about anymore, because we don't want to hurt the people. We don't want them to, think it's going to be difficult. Well, baby, it's difficult. But it's the only ball game in town. And by grace, we can do it. By grace, we can do it, honest. It's by grace. But no one's talking about sacrifice. No one's talking about being poured out like a libation. You know, we don't hear those things. We hear those, if you give to my ministry, give me $100, you're going to get 10,000. Now, you know, I believe in the law of sowing and reaping. I believe that. But you know what? It can become too gimmicky. You give me and you're going to get. I don't know. What happens if you don't get? I want him. I believe in the law of sowing and reaping. I do believe in that. I believe in that. My life is an example of that. I sow and I reap and I reap and I reap and I, but you know what? When I'm sowing, I'm not saying, I'm gonna get back. Look what I'm gonna get. No. I'm just sowing. Because you know why? What God has given me, I just want to give. Because that's God is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The Father is a giver. And I'm going to tell you, if I'm his child, I'm a giver. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. So if I'm the son of God, a son of God, then I'm a giver. Because I want to be like my daddy. He's a giver. He gives the best. He doesn't give the angels. He gives his only begotten son. God's a giver. That's who he is. God's a giver. Therefore, as I give, I start looking a little more like my Father. The more I give of myself, of my treasure, of my talent, of my guts, the more I start looking like my daddy. But that's done in the Holy Spirit. That's done in the Holy Spirit. People haven't learned that. People haven't learned that we give because he first gave to us. We love because he first loved us. You know, it's all about him. He is the great initiator. Not us. It's all about him. So what do I want to say today? I want to say these words. If you're suffering today, united to the power of the cross, how do I do that? Say, Lord Jesus, your cross is eternal, and what I'm going through, I unite this to your cross. I want you to heal me, but I want it to be united until you heal me. Because you know what, Lord? I don't want this suffering to be wasted. Save people through this suffering. I join my suffering to your suffering. Only when I join my suffering to your suffering does it mean something. And then sacrifice. That the center of human history is the crucified Savior. And that he became a sacrifice. And that we should have the same mind as Christ Jesus. That our lives should be sacrificial. Living sacrifices. Burnt holocausts that are living. How many know that it's easier to consume a dead sacrifice doesn't hurt than a living sacrifice? For when the fire of the Holy Ghost comes upon the living sacrifice, oh, my Lord, we are the fragrance of Christ unto God the Father. A fragrance that leads to life to those that are being saved, and a fragrance that leads to death to those that are being lost. It's as we place ourselves on the altar to be that living sacrifice with him that we are the fragrance of Christ. You read it, 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. Tonight we will be at the Espousal Retreat House. We will be there. It is the 8th of October. We will not be there the rest of October. This is our last night at the Espousal Retreat House during October. We will begin again with the help of God in November. So tonight we will be at the Espousal Retreat House tonight. People will be praying the rosary at 7 o'clock. 7:30 we start Mass. And we will be there tonight, the 8th of October. We will not be there the next few Wednesdays. That's just the way it is. So if you want to come and be blessed tonight, you are welcome. And their telephone number is 781-209-3101. 781-209-3101. 781-209-3101. And I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Paul is my friend, and he lived a sacrificial life. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.